Good evening and welcome to the call. It's so exciting to be with you. This has been a wonderful day of coaching. Tuesday's always my favorite day. We start at 8 in the morning and we go nonstop until just a few minutes before this call. And Ramona has me shovel a little bit of food in my mouth and we're ready to have a great experience this evening. Last week we had an opportunity to talk about intrinsic validation. This idea of stepping into somebody's world. I mentioned last week, and I want to emphasize that when we make the decision to step into someone's world, we are truly setting ourselves apart from the rest of the world. Almost everyone is focused on themselves, either because of trauma or self-centric nature, whatever it might be. We are focused on how to suffer. What are they going to say? Or I think they look more successful than me, and I feel bad about myself. Whatever it might be, we create this chasm between us and other people, and we are in our world. And little do we know that almost in ever talking to their own world. So we're in our world, they're in their world. It's the world of another human being. It's crossing this line of becoming a very rare human being. Now, when we step into someone's world and we are looking for what's important to them and we're verbalizing it and we're listening for doors and we're taking down those walls of resistance, walking through those steps of intrinsic validation, as we're doing this piece, we want to be very careful. Just emphasize this point from conversations from this last week. One, when Og said we can melt all hearts like unto the sun his rays soften the coldest clay, it didn't say in the first conversation. He didn't say the first time you meet someone. He said that with love, agape love, this heightened level of awareness, that awareness may say to us, this is not the time to step into that door. This is not the time to try to step into the world. This may be a superficial conversation or an inappropriate place for that kind of a conversation. Our awareness goes that deep. Is this the time? We may be in a conversation, I shared this last week, where someone might say something. We'll hear a door, and we'll say, you know, I'd like to step into the world. You might even give them a knowing smile and call them back later or later in the event and pull them aside, visit with them. It may be impossible for them at that moment to share that with in the context of what everybody else is discussing. It may be inappropriate. So intrinsic validation is not a linear experience, and it doesn't have a stopwatch on it. It is focusing on another person with such intent that we will step into their world and find out what's important to them. Second of all, we want to be very careful that as we're stepping into people's worlds, that we are doing so without our agenda and without our baggage. Our baggage is the need to be right, the need to fix. Our agenda is whatever we might want to sell. We're going in free of those things, but we're going in fully armed with our life experiences, our empathy, our intuition. We're stepping into their world. We're bringing our life experiences so we can better understand what they are experiencing. That's a key point. We also are going to have a couple of the things that are going to happen. This is an important piece. Intrinsic validation is not about naive kindness. That's a misunderstanding. It is about caring enough about a person to create a safe place for them to share their experience. A safe place. They know that we know where they are and we didn't try to fix them. That also means we don't need to agree with them or even believe them. This is an opportunity for us to gather, frankly, accurate information. Intrinsic validation is about accuracy. With accurate information, you can make the decision after you have the information what would be appropriate and wise. I'll say this many times. If when you're in someone's world, you discover that you're dealing with a rattlesnake, you do not put them in your sleeping bag. Because when you climb in later, that rattlesnake will bite you, because that's what rattlesnakes do. This is isn't being kind to rattlesnakes, naively kind. It might be being respectful. So let us not think that we have to, when we make this decision to focus on other people, that we all of a sudden have to be naively kind to everyone. That is not true. We want to care enough about them as a human being to step into their world and find out what really is. From there, we can make all kinds of decisions with that accurate information. To act appropriately and wisely. We may choose not to do business with them. We may have a solution to their challenges that might bless their life. We could share those. But we don't know any of that until we've stepped into the world. The risk we have, somebody's got a kind of a short, it sounds like, in a headset. So if we could just have everybody press *6 really quickly, and we can mute all that out just for now so we keep the recording really clean. Does everybody press *6 on their phone, please? See if we can eliminate that static. Thank you. As we're stepping into this person's world, we want to be able to find out what is really, truly happening without any agenda, without any baggage, and then make a wise and appropriate decision based on that information. This is a key piece for you, because caring enough to do this does not require agreement, and it doesn't require naive kindness. This is about respect. This is about caring. This is a human being. This is a living, breathing human being. The risk is that we think we know. We think we know. The question is, do they know that we know? And saying to them, I know how you feel, does not give them confidence that we know. If we know how they feel, we will know the questions to ask. They will come out of our own life experience, if we truly know. Feel, felt, found is a nice concept. That's how I feel. I know how you feel. That's how I felt. This is what I found. That concept is saved for the last step in intrinsic validation. That is not what we use when we first step into their world. Because if you know how they feel, you'll know the question to ask. Do you ever experience this? Have you ever been through this? If we don't know the question, let us not shortcut the process by simply saying, I know how you feel, and then do our thing. It's time for another question. Could you help me understand a little better about this? I'm just listening. I'd like to gain a greater understanding of what you're going through. And we do that till we know where they are. And the way we know that we know is we know the questions to ask. I'm still getting that static. I apologize if I'm pushing just a little hard on that, but we're getting a really sharp static sound on the recording. It's probably somebody's headset or a telephone cable, so if we could just press *6, that'll mute the line. If you could press *6, please. And thank you for doing that. I will call on some of you this evening. We've had some wonderful emails from a number of you. We made a promise that tonight was going to be a special night. Tonight we want to have a recording from this event that you can come back to often. That others who may not be able to be in attendance, I know someone, for example, who's in a class tonight, who's conducting a Bible study at a church and can't be here, but wants to be able to listen, will be coming back tomorrow, the day after, when it's posted, to listen. This is going to be an opportunity for each one of us that wants to. And I've got four or five people I'm going to call on to start with to just get this moving, who have sent me emails this weekend sharing some of the stories that we'd like to hear. For individuals to share experiences they've had with intrinsic validation. Now we're going to start. Rita, are you on the phone with us this evening, Rita?
Yes, I am. Good evening.
Hi, Rita.
Hi.
Rita, you sent me an email today. Not today. It's actually sent it to me last Friday. And when I got the email, I must tell you that I got a little emotional just reading it. Would you take just a moment and share with those who are on the call tonight the experience you had in a recent plane ride?
Sure. It made me a little emotional as well going through it. I was flying back from Dallas. And it was at the end of a long, hard day, and I needed to scoot past a young woman about 35 years old sitting in the aisle seat so I could get to my window seat. So as I went past her, I said, "Excuse me," and, "Hi, how are you?" And she said, "Oh, okay." And I kind of sat in my seat and I thought, oh, just for a brief moment, I thought, well, there was a door, but I'm so exhausted. I think I'd just like to sit back in my seat and close my eyes for the next 2.5 hours. But thank goodness my empathy and intuition And so I said to her, "You know, that wasn't very convincing. Are you sure you're okay?" And she said, "Well, my mother passed away today, and I'm to go be with her and make the arrangements." And of course, you know, my heart just started aching, and my eyes teared up, and I put my hand on her arm, and I, of course, expressed my condolences. And I knew, and Dave, you taught us this in other sessions, that one way that we can really engage with the power, our higher power, is to ask that if anyone needs us during that day, if we can serve them, if they would be put in our path. So I thought to myself, maybe this is the person I'm here to serve today. And so I started thinking about how can I best serve her. And so I asked her, "Do you want to talk about it?" And at first she was a little hesitant, but I found that the more I gave her what Harvey calls space and grace, Harvey being one of my coaches, he always says, give them space and grace, not fluff and stuff. So I thought, I just need to kind of give her some open space for her to express herself, because I don't know what she's feeling or needs to say. She started to, in the space, say, "You know, my mom loved to write poems." And she would express, you know, a bit about a poem that her mother had written about raising her and her mentally disabled brother. And that was another part of the story. She was on her way not only to make arrangements for her mother, but to tell her disabled, mentally disabled brother that his mother had passed. So she had that on her mind as well. And then she also had on her mind the fact that she was very afraid of flying. So she had a lot. But what I found was it wasn't so much what I said, but often what I didn't say, the fact that I just, with my body language, let her know I was there to listen and let her fill in the space. And she told me about her mother had been a single mother, raised the two children by herself, had struggled, had, you know, had three jobs that she had worked. One time she sacrificed an extra month of overtime to buy her daughter a piano. That piano is now, you know, in her home and used by her five children. Anyway, the story unfolded, and by the end of the plane ride, I realized that I had been the one who had been served. I had been the one that had been given a gift, and it was just a very powerful experience for me, and the beauty of intrinsic validation was just miraculous, I'll just say, for me that day.
Rita, tell us just a little bit more about you were the one that was served.
Well, by stepping into her world and feeling of her love for her mother and her respect and of the sacrifices her mother had made, I couldn't help but think about what kind of a person am I being and what sacrifices am I making. And this is such a wonderful young woman. You could just tell. She had just a great spirit about her. And I thought, am I being an example to my children as she, you know, this woman, to her daughter? Anyway, that's how it served me.
You want to be a better person.
Yes, exactly. It inspired me, and so it was truly a gift.
Has there ever been a time in the past when you were tired, and it might not be exactly like this, where you did go ahead and sleep?
I'm sure there was, Dave, probably more than, when I walked by an opportunity or slept by an opportunity.
And when you have one like this and you see the walls come down, you see this outpouring of cooperation, of sharing, you're being fed, you're experiencing joy, what motivation does that give you for the next time?
Well, I'll certainly think twice about just sitting back in my chair, that's for sure. It's like walking by a beautiful opportunity, and you never know where those will show up. But, that really touched me.
I want to thank you, Rita. And for those of you on the phone, Rita is one of our intentional creation coaches. I didn't want to tell you that before she shared, because as coaches, we go through these experiences ourselves. I've shared on this phone call times when I missed those opportunities, because we do miss them. But when we have one like this, and not only, Rita, did she serve you, it woke up something inside of me reading it. And I would hope that those who are listening tonight and those who might listen later to this recording might be inspired by that, and your act of stepping into her world, the service she gave, can ripple through many. Say, I wonder how many times I've been asleep. What a metaphor. And missed a door, or ignored a door, or just wasn't available for the very person that God may have put on my path that very day who needed my service. And then you end up being served. What a beautiful story. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you for letting me share.
Anybody have any questions or comments about Rita's experience?
Dave, this is Joyce.
Hi, Joyce.
Hi, how are you?
Wonderful.
I just felt so warm with Rita's conversation, because I have found that whenever we get into that place and we serve, there's always a feeling that we're served more. That God's abundance does is it just comes back to us tenfold. And I just think of, the scroll that says, that I will, that my life will be 100-fold.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we bring that joy, it just comes, it's like a boomerang. It just keeps coming back.
Great comment. Joyce is from Chicago. Thank you, Joyce.
You're welcome.
One of our great coaches in Chicago area. Rita, you just did give us an example of scroll number 8. Today I will multiply my value 100-fold. Because by doing and then by sharing, your experience and your example now gets to ripple out for all of us. So thank you. Wonderful.
That would be my hope. Thank you.
Ken, are you with us?
I'm with you, Dave. I'm here in not-so-sunny Shaker Heights, Ohio, but I was thinking, listening to Rita, recently had quite a wonderful experience with a lady I'll call Mary Marvelous. Mary, 40-something business professional, 2 sons, 1 in the mid-20s, 1 just turned 19, and her younger son volunteered for military duty and wanted to go to Afghanistan to fight for his country. Mary Marvelous has a wonderful husband, so his name is Mr. Marvelous, I guess. A successful business professional, and actually Mary came to me to talk with me about coaching because she was really wanted to learn how to be a coach herself, and maybe not hanging out a shingle, so to speak, to become a coach, but she wanted to be able to learn to better help other people in her professional work. And Mary really is a kind of person that has been very actively engaged in her own professional development. She's the kind of person that every time she hears about a new self-help book, she buys it. Now sometimes she reads them and sometimes she doesn't, but she has quite a library. But she would tell me how very effective she felt she was with intrinsic validation of the people. She would look for the good. She would step into their world and on. And I was saying, yes, and Mary, tell me more. You mentioned earlier about your son going to Afghanistan, and you mentioned something about your husband that somehow or other you felt like he was draining your son's enthusiasm about his decision to join the military. And she said, well, I'm a little suspicious of that position. But Mary is the kind of person that really, in her validating others, she sometimes validates to the point where she doesn't confront. I mean, she just almost enables him to continue this draining process. So, and what we discovered in the process, that Mary was very good at helping other people break down their walls of resistance, but the biggest area was with her own husband. I mean, there she was, this very, very astute professional and doing all this neat stuff, and we had some tearful sessions where she began to say, but I'm losing my husband. It's all about my son, and I love both my sons, and I really don't want my son to go to Afghanistan to the military, but on the other hand, I know it's a thing that he wants to do, and I just can't see why my husband is doing this. And up until that time, their relationship was really very strong and powerful. I think after actually several months and of her looking at her own walls of resistance, she realized that she'd been missing the opportunities to step into the world of her husband and really understand why he was kind of not helping her son to be very enthusiastic about the military. The bottom line is that it worked out, and that Mary had a better sense of, number one, that intrinsic validation is not just for some people, but really needs to be something for all humankind that you come in contact with, and I would say even in animal kind too. Even you know, some people kick dogs. I like to go up and pet them. I mean, at least you try to look at a dog and see if it's gonna. And that's the way with some people. You want to go up and pet them. Other people, you want to come even close to them because they're gonna bite you. But and in my own world too, about being good about the intrinsic validation of others, and yet the ones you love the most, you miss that, and that has really saddened me, and that really is a wake-up call for me and my relationship with my wife, and something that through my own coaching and working with Mary Marvelous, that I found that I also had a Mary Marvelous in my life.
Oh, this is wonderful. Now, you've raised an interesting topic, that we intrinsically validate, can we step out into the world, and we're thinking about people, and especially if we're in business, we're out networking, etc. And sometimes when we come home, we're tired, we let our hair down, and perhaps with those we love the most, we are often the least effective at intrinsically validating.
Amen, yes, absolutely. It's very easy to do. It's very easy to do, and one has to be kind of on alert. And I say that not in a alert in a military sense, but in a sense of a human sense of people reach out. And you know, when you're out there all day long, I mean, some of the people on the call, do you ever get that feeling your senses are kind of deadened, right? I got one nerve left, and doggone if you ain't stepped on it. And you come home, and you want to protect what nerves you have left there, and yet that's probably the best time to really intrinsically validate and really open up and step into the other's world. Because really, at that time, you want to leave your world behind. And what new wonderful things are there with your own spouse or your own significant other or a child, some that you really love, but you've just not taken that step to and that sometimes it's a big big step into some other people's world, and they open that door, seem to be very wide, but you'd never step in. Thinking about, you know, one small step for man, one great step for mankind. I mean, stepping into another person's world sometimes feels like that.
We know, Ken, that the walls of resistance that are up in a non-adversarial relationship, which would be like a committed companion, is like 40% on average of their cooperation and productivity is being held back behind that wall. We know that when we're out in the world, we're most likely dealing with people with bigger walls and larger percentages. And so we can get exhausted spending time stepping into worlds, and hopefully Rita has given us a great example tonight where we can actually be fed by the experience and be rejuvenated by the experience. It is interesting that that person who has the lowest wall is the one that we avoid doing the work with. Ken, you're a highly successful coach with our organization. There are many people on the call who are building businesses. And quite often, it's in addition to a full-time job. So they're working hard all day. They're coming home and then disciplining themselves to work a second business, a home-based business of some kind of network marketing or direct selling business to build this business. What ideas could you give them to just not miss a moment or two like that for intrinsic validation? What could we do when we come home or at the end of a day? What could we do to not miss that opportunity at home? Any ideas?
Well,
by the way, we didn't rehearse this, did we?
No, not at all. And a very provocative kind of question for me, because it's something I've wrestled with for quite a while. When I'm back at my home base, it's like taking my cell phone or any other electronic thing and plugging it into the charger. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of now in my mind think of my wife as my charger. And I plug in. And then how I plug in? By stepping into her world. And so I need to be re-energized, and I realize that some of the best source of energy is right at home. Now, of course, working with people and lots of different coaching clients and different organizations, I'm energized by all that, but there's a special kind of energy that you get when you look at your home base and what that means. So I think that's what is very key to me, that I'm not the Energizer Bunny. I just can't go on and on without some time to time being recharged and energized. And so, frankly, in the coaching experience for me, stepping into other people's worlds enables me to be energized by what they have to say.
Mm. That's a great concept. So all of us on the phone, when we're coming home after a long day and just before you start working on your business or after some point in that time, plug in. That's a great idea. Plug in, and you plug in by stepping into their world. And we know that when we do and the walls come down, we're the beneficiary.
Absolutely.
Just like Rita said, we're the beneficiary of the cooperation, the productivity. It floods out. It feels good. It really can rejuvenate us. Thank you.
You're quite welcome, Dave.
Lynette, I've got you up on next on our list. Mm-hmm. Lynette Williams from Salt Lake City. Lynette, are you with us tonight?
I sure am. Hi, Dave.
Hi. Have we rehearsed anything tonight?
I'm sorry?
Have we rehearsed anything in preparation for tonight?
Yes, we haven't really, no. In fact, I haven't.
I just let our coaches know that we're, and many of them attend the Tuesday night calls. Some of them are in training. Lynette happens to be one of our senior mm-hmm. coaches, and I invited anyone that would like to share to let us know, and of course, we were just swamped by emails. We don't have time for all of them on the call. There's probably 30 coaches on our call with us, if everyone else is on the call. And Lynette, we wanted to. You had a story you wanted to share with us, and we wanted to give you that opportunity. So share with us your intrinsic validation story.
Well, I appreciate that. Just real quickly, before I jump into that story with what happened with my client, I had such a unique experience the day after I emailed you. I had to go to a meeting that I did not know was for the deaf until I got there. And it was probably 90% of the people in the room were deaf. And it was a very interesting experience because I had the opportunity to really step into their world. And it made me stop and think of how many times when we're practicing intrinsic validation, am I really getting to the level of being in their world? Because it was a very sacred place, I could tell just from the communications, the extra things they had to do to be able to communicate with each other. And I had the opportunity to experience that firsthand and experience some of the frustration because I couldn't read the sign language and could I hear, you know, whatever. It was very interesting and really made me step back and say, you know, when I get into intrinsic validation, when I'm stepping into someone's world, it really is reaching out for understanding. And I'm so glad I had that experience. It was very different, but a very wonderful experience.
So as you're talking to someone and that someone's signing what you're saying, I'm assuming,
mm-hmm.
and then you're looking at the expression on the face and hoping they got it, and then they sign back, and then the person talks to you, and it is really you're reaching deep to get what you're saying into their soul and to get back what they're saying back to you. That's fascinating.
Mm-hmm. It was it was so interesting. And add to that, we had another language that was there as well. So another verbal language, but a different verbal language plus me plus the deaf. It was, yeah. Is that communication going? Am I understanding where they're coming from? And it was very different. It was wonderful. A great opportunity. And just to emphasize, really, you know, my wall's got to come down. And if I take my wall down and open up to them and help them to bring that wall down, then that communication can flow. Very interesting. But I wanted to share with you what happened with one of my clients that was just a really heartwarming experience. This is a person who works in a network marketing company, and he does prospecting. And he called me one day, and he says, you know, I walk into places, and I'm talking to going to talk to people, and I can talk to them a little bit about what they do, but I am absolutely scared to death to tell them what I do, and I can't ever prospect anybody. And he told me of an experience. He'd just gone to a store, and the person that was standing next to him was very open and wanted to talk with him and asked him what he did, and my client just froze. He couldn't say anything. He didn't know what to say. And when he called me, he said this person would have been wonderful to expose to my business and might have been something he'd be interested in, but I couldn't even tell him about it. And so we sat down and talked about what was going on, and I really tried to get into his world and understand where he was coming from. And what it ended up being, or one of the challenges that he was facing, was a lack of belief in himself. He didn't think that he himself had anything to offer, and so he didn't dare really get into the person's world because he was afraid too much of himself would be shown. And so we worked through that a little bit and helped him to understand the beautiful and unique person that he was. And it was amazing how things turned around for him as he learned the principles of intrinsic validation and started going out again and prospecting and stepping into the person's world. And he went from a place of absolutely being terrified of talking to somebody to get to a place where he could go out with confidence and knew that he could prospect 5 to 10 people in the first half hour of his day, and on he could go with something else. And it was amazing to see the transformation in him and in his business because he had the confidence that he could talk to somebody, he could reach into their world, he could really get to know them. And, you know, like you say, Dave, it may not be in that first conversation when they, you know, you take it further. It might take a couple conversations, but at least he could begin that process. And it changed him completely.
So we have this dilemma that we're worried about bringing something to the conversation, and yet when we teach intrinsic validation, as you've now done so well with him, we're asking everybody to leave that baggage at the door in the first place, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
So we leave the baggage at the door, and the only thing we bring is our life experience, which is typically what, Lynette? Those awful things that have happened? All those terrible things that we'd never want to have to do again or be a part of, and we just bring that and own it in our hearts.
And create understanding.
So we can create understanding. This is a wonderful thing. Thank you for sharing this. Everybody's got a very unique message tonight. If everybody's picking up on this piece, that intrinsic validation is about seeking understanding. It's not about bringing anything. It's about us pulling out of them. It's about them. And we can become the most interesting person in the party and hardly say a word.
Yep.
Very interesting. Thank you, Lynette. That's wonderful. Three great stories. Annie Stone, are you with us?
I am here.
You have to speak up, Annie. We can barely hear you.
I am here. Can you hear me better?
I can.
Okay.
Annie's from Florida.
No, Philadelphia.
Philadelphia. Why was I thinking Florida, Annie?
You're mixing me up with Peggy. I don't know.
Oh, maybe so. It'd be a good person to mix you up with.
I don't mind at all.
Annie is one of our senior coaches. She's been with us for a long time. Annie, share with us your experience.
Well, I have been working with a client who, as he put it during our debrief, grew up in his father's military and really had absolutely no experience with his father having the ability to step into his world and understanding what was going on for him. And he sort of was a bootstrap kind of person and still is in very, in some ways. Very successful. He's the vice president of the technology department of a very large food company. And, you know, has made his way in the world in a big way. He hired me because one of the things that he felt was, quote-unquote, a mess was in his personal relationship. And this whole process was not a linear process, so I may need to go back and forth a little bit. He had initially talked to me about one of his sons who was having a problem in school, and this child apparently this man was perceiving him as to be ordinary and rebellious and very bright but not doing his work, and you know he was sort of putting a heavy hand to him, and his ex-wife, this child's mother, the same thing. And
almost like his father's military, huh?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And what I had asked him at one point was, for this particular child, was, you know, would you rather, and I was encouraging him to step into this child's world to find out what was it that was going on for this child that made him behave the way he was. And he was struggling with that because he had a tendency to be particularly systemic and, you know, which is a military world. And I asked him this question that sounded like this, and that was, you know, would you rather get a different report from his teacher, or would you rather walk away from a conversation with him where he says to you, "Dad, I am so glad we had this conversation. You know, it's so good to talk to you." And his answer to me, of course, was, you know, to thank him for, you know, to be grateful for having the conversation with his father. That
pause just for a moment, Annie. We're getting some noise in the background of someone on a keyboard and some other noise. If you could just press *6, that would be so wonderful. If you could, please. Thank you. Sorry, Annie.
No problem. That question came to me, which will lead into another son actually and coming to, you know, the profound experience for this man, was I have three children. My youngest son is the child that I, on occasion, have had problems with, you know, sort of bumping into his world, wall, I'm sorry. And there was an occasion where he called me to speak with me about a very personal issue involving a girlfriend. And using everything that I learned about intrinsic validation, hearing the doors, and putting my agenda aside, asking the right questions, and being honest with him and straightforward on certain issues in terms of behavior and, you know, what his expectations were and what he wanted out of this relationship. Ultimately, when we were finished with the conversation, what he said to me was, "Thank you, Mom. I am so glad I spoke with you." Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was a gift to me as a mother and such a relief, like, phew, you know, the intrinsic validation works, and I did it. Yippee! You know,
Sometimes easier to teach than do, right?
within this relationship. Well, exactly. You know,
yeah.
It's what you said before. Those closest to us, sometimes it's the most difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the question came from for this client within that particular scenario. But
pause there just for a moment, Annie,
yes.
So we don't miss this. Here you are sharing a concept with someone. This could be anybody on the phone talking to someone about a concept. And the question you asked your client came from your own life experiences using these principles.
Exactly.
Exactly. Don't want anybody to miss that. Because you bring your life experiences to an intrinsic validating experience, and that's where the questions flow. They come from your experience. Please continue. Thank you, Annie.
At another session, this gentleman shared with me that he and his family, and he has a large family, went away on vacation. And they had a great time, and it was wonderful. But on the way home, because they had an entourage, there were several cars. And one of his older sons was in the car behind him and following him. And he was noticing that he was looking in his rearview mirror, and he was noticing his son weaving in the road a little bit, and could see his son's face in the rearview mirror. Well, he stopped this entire entourage and was wondering what was going on with his son. He got out of his car and, you know, invited his son to come with him, had everybody wait, and for 45 minutes he had a conversation with his son where his son shared with him that, you know, previous to getting into the car, that he had had a very upsetting interaction with his girlfriend and that it was on his mind and, you know, it was very disturbing. My client didn't share all the details about it. However, what was so profound for him was, A, without this work, he never would have paid attention to what was going on behind him in the way that he did. He never would have stopped a whole entourage and spent that 45 minutes with his son. And the thing that even moved him the most and almost brought me to tears was the fact that here he was sitting beside his son using tools that he didn't know might be available to him, because he certainly never experienced that with his father. And what a gift it was for him to receive this gift and to also feel the pain of not having had it.
Wow. I'm just imagining this son growing up and having a son. And how he might be able to respond differently because of what his father now did because of what you taught him.
And that was my client's thoughts as well. And that, yeah.
Wonderful, Annie, and so proud of you too.
Thank you.
Catherine. Catherine, are you on the phone with us?
Yes, I am, Dave. How are you? I finally made it.
Oh, good. I knew you were going to be here about 7:30, so thank you.
Oh, thank you. Yes,
we have just had a wonderful story shared by Rita of when she was on an airplane and got a door from someone sitting next to her and stepped into it and found out that this woman's mother had just passed, and she was heading to take care of her and to let her younger brother, who was mentally ill, know that, or mentally challenged, that his mother had passed away and was his caretaker. So it's just doubly difficult. A beautiful story. Ken was talking to us about, Ken Kovach was sharing that we sometimes intrinsically validate out in the world, but we miss the opportunity to do it with those that we love, those who are closest to us. Mm-hmm. And shared a great concept of coming home, and like we plug in our cell phones to recharge them and everything else. He says, I plug into my wife. I step into her world. I thought that was a beautiful concept.
Oh, absolutely.
Lynette shared a beautiful story with us, and thank you, Lynette, for her story, and Annie just shared one with us. Oh, it's just been a fun conversation. We've got just a few more minutes, and we'd love to hear from you, so could you share your story?
I sure will, and I'd love to, and I'm honored to do so, and it's quite a short story, but I think it's, you know, speaking with intrinsic validation and being on that subject, I think it'll fit in very wonderfully here. I'm based in northeastern Pennsylvania, just a little bit north of where Annie is based, so I know her area too, so it's good to hear your voice, Annie. I've actually been working with a new client who came to me through a referral in a direct marketing business. And she called me wanting to know what I can do to help her and teach her because of the person that referred her. And she was quite anxious to get through the assessment and the report and to learn about some of the things that were challenging her. And her comment to me was, look, I already know what you can do. Let's just get on with it. She came into it because she was desperate. She has a very successful direct sales marketing business, and her marriage was in a shambles. And she wanted to build her business so that because they were contemplating divorce, she wanted to have some solid footing so that when that happened, she would at least have some money and be able to afford to provide housing, that sort of thing, for her three children. So we got into the program, we got her started, and we started working on intrinsic validation. And she said, this is never going to work. Well, how could she know at the time what she didn't know? And that was, it was going to work if she was really going to commit to practicing what she needed to do, what she wanted to do in order to build her business. But what she really couldn't know at the time was the impact that intrinsic validation and her really getting into it and making it a part of her life, the impact that it was going to have on her relationship with her husband, because they had already talked about divorce. They had gone to several counselors. They had gone to many therapists. And, you know, while they made some progress, they were stalled. They really almost literally hit that brick wall. And the both of them just kind of threw their hands up in the air and said, okay, look, we've been together since high school. We don't know what else to do. What they're telling us to do is just not working. I'm not willing. When are you going to change? How am I going to change you? That sort of thing. 3 weeks into it, she called me up. She was so excited, and it wasn't even, you know, it wasn't even our time to have our session. And she called me up, and she said, I couldn't wait. I've just got to tell you. I've been practicing, you know, asking questions. I've been practicing imagining what it would be like from my husband's standpoint, and I've been biting my tongue. been really working to respond and really be listening to what he's saying. And she said, it happened. I finally got it. And he came home today after work. He's a police officer in New York City. And that's enough stress right there. But she said, we had an argument, and I promised myself that I was not going to bring it up, that I was just really going to spend some time trying to imagine what it's like in his world. And he came home, and he thanked me. Catherine, he thanked me for not making a big deal and not overreacting, but waiting for him to come to me. And we had the most wonderful conversation. And she said, I'm telling you, she said, we're no longer contemplating getting divorced. She said, he doesn't know what I'm doing. He knows that we're working together, but he doesn't know the exercises. And he's sensing the change. He's told me that he's sensing the change, and he wants us to work it out in 3 weeks. I get to hear and be a part of this amazing story, like a rosebud that's so tight, that's just starting to open up. And it's just so amazing to me that this really does work.
You almost leave me speechless, because I know some of those on the call tonight are having some real struggles in this very area. Is it fair to say, Catherine, that when we show up that way, and we take the pressure off of a situation, there's a possibility the other person might show up differently as well?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Even though they don't know what we're doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And by emptying ourselves of our own judgment about what somebody else might be going through, oh, the possibilities are endless.
What a wonderful story. Thank you. And thank you for participating. Now, is there anyone else on the call that I haven't heard from this week that would like to share? We have about 5 minutes left on the call. Is there anyone else that has an intrinsic validation story they'd like to share with us?
Hi, Dave. This is Lil.
Hi, Lil.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
It's just so great listening to everybody. So many amazing things happen with this program in my life and also the life of my clients. And I just wanted to share something really quickly because it could have been something that was overlooked and you know, not significant, but it was truly significant. I'm currently coaching a group of women. And one of the women, as we were walking through the steps of intrinsic validation, we got to step 6, which is timing. And so after, you know, her sharing with the group about stepping into someone's world and then stepping out of someone's world and then recommitting and stepping back into someone's world, and we started talking about timing, and she said, well, how will I know? And so we started discussing as a group, well, you just ask, you know, do you just need for me to listen? Do you want me to offer some advice? You know, what is it you need? And it was a split second, but she said, you mean I don't have to guess what they're thinking? I can actually just ask? And it was funny, you know, everybody cracked up, but it really hit everybody that she had just stepped up to a limiting belief, challenged it, and chose to change it on the spot. She goes, wow, I feel so empowered. I don't have to guess what people are thinking. I can just ask. That's all I had to share. I just, you know, it was just
that's
so
awesome. Thank you. And Lily, you remind me of the advice that we give in the practicum that guys, especially guys, I want to talk to you all for a moment, that when we're in that moment and you know, someone says, well, what do you think I should do? If we were to say, would you like me to just listen or would you like advice? Lil, what are most women going to say to us?
They're normally going to ask if you would just listen. You know, just let me, you know, talk through it. There's something powerful about someone hearing their own voice, and not, you know, more in the sense that when they hear themselves say it out loud, some things become clearer. So sometimes people just need to talk.
Just need a chance to process. Well, what a fun evening. Thank you all for participating this evening. And for everyone that's on the call, let us double our efforts this week with a new level of intention to notice people. Let us see what's important to them. Let us verbalize it. Listen for doors. Step into their world. Take down those walls. Now, we sent out an email this last week, and we'll send out another one here shortly. If you have not yet picked up any of the qualities of an intentional creator, there's a special right now. I think it's $37, Lincoln, if you're on the phone with us. $37, a person can pick up connecting with people. And scroll number two, and I think you get the affirmations and what is the other thing? Oh, the risk report. You get all of that for $37. It's a very interesting offer to assist people in doing this more effectively during the holidays. We had a wonderful email that Betty wrote that she wanted us to send out to everyone in the OG fan group. Thousands and thousands of people we sent that to last week. And it's her desire, as we're pondering these principles in OG Mandino, and I'll greet this day with love in my heart, that we spend this holiday season building bridges and mending wounds. And may we commit. We've got a week before Thanksgiving, a week and a couple of days. What could we do different this Thanksgiving that we haven't done before? How could we show up differently to family events? In the holiday seasons that are coming, with all the different celebrations, Hanukkah, Christmas, how could we show up differently? What could we do differently to notice and listen and validate those that we come in contact with? What could we on January, if we all got together, what stories could we share about miracles that were created in our families this holiday season? That's Betty's desire, that we spend that time mending those wounds. May we do that. Thanks, everybody, this evening, and we look forward to next week. And we're going to do a little session on intrinsic validation and Thanksgiving in preparation for that holiday. So we'll look forward to next Tuesday night. Everybody have a wonderful week. And so good night, everyone.
Night.